Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the second day, Kafav B'Tammuz, Parashas Masdei, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 31 July 2016, webcasting from the Holy Land, given by the God of the Bible to the children of Israel, which gift angers the peoples of the world to this day. Anger at the Jews for not deserving their chosenness. Anger at the Jews for not wanting peace. Greedily refusing to share the Holy Land with the brother Ishmael. That was the spirit of Jimmy Carter's first book that he wrote after his own disastrous term as president. He called it The Blood of Abraham, which suggests this man has no understanding of the Bible that he teaches in Sunday school, because his book was about the tragedy of the bad relationship between Abraham's two sons, and as the book showed, it was the Jews' fault. This goy, Carter, did not understand the plain sense of the Bible story of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Ishmael and Yitzchak. And this is the type of fool to speak of the three Abrahamic religions when the story tells of Ishmael's expulsion from Abraham's community, which we deduce from the 318 men whom he took on that hostage rescue mission to Damascus must have been in the hundreds, the small thousands perhaps, with women and children and servants and the elderly. The text clearly teaches that Ishmael, even before his birth, was predicted to be a wild ass of a man, and so he grew up to be one. And when little Yitzchak had his weaning party and was the celebrated center of attention, Sarah saw the expression on Ishmael's face as he mocked the proceedings and foresaw the possibility that in the future Ishmael, whom she had watched grow up, could murder her son. So she told her husband that he had to go. Her husband, Avraham, resisted, but God told him to listen to his wife, who in this matter saw things more clearly than he about his firstborn son. Some 34 years later, Avraham would be called to bind his son Yitzchak for a sacrifice, but in the end, the God of Avraham did not have him go through with it, and not let him plunge that knife into his son's neck, as the Arabs here today like to plunge their knives into our necks. A son of Ishmael today approached soldiers, threatening to do just that, so they shot him dead. Then along came Christianity, which came up with its own story, in which the God of Abraham does go through with the deliberate torture and execution of his own son, which to a Jewish mind is hard to understand. Abraham's God does not want human sacrifice and stops it. Christendom's understanding of the God of Abraham does preside over the horrible torture and death of his son. So Christendom then went on to claim that because the Jews were his executioners, he was not only the Messiah but God himself, and thus the Jews lost the promised land and were expelled to be homeless, wandering like Cain, until the second coming, because apparently the first coming of this Messiah did not work out and a second coming is needed, and because Christians recognized the man from Nazareth as the Jews' Messiah, the Christians became the real Jews. And so the Catholic Church defines itself, Veris Yisrael, the real Israel. And to this day, the Catholic Church resists recognizing the right of the Jews to return home and repossess the promised land, just as it says in their Bible, that they would, because Hashem would bring them back, and he has. In J-Post today, Herb Kanon reported that last week Israel announced plans to advance the construction of some new 770 units in Gilo, in the capital, beyond the Green Line. Not surprisingly, in this world of instantaneous global encircling communications, the government of the United States of America and the United Nations Organization, representing 193 countries around the globe, and the European Union, representing the continent, all responded with anger at the Jewish state. In Washington, the State Department spokesman John Kirby said that the U.S. remains, quote, troubled that Israel continues this pattern of provocative and counterproductive action, which raises serious questions about Israel's ultimate commitment to a peaceful, negotiated settlement with the Palestinians, close quote. Yeah, that's right, John. This decision to build more homes for Jews in what we see as our eternal capital is, in your eyes, a provocation. That's why we did it. To provoke others, to make them angry. In John Kirby's mind, the innocent desire of a growing people to build more homes played no role. The decision was provocative, intended to provoke, and that raises questions, he said, about Israel's commitment to peace. Right again, John, the Jews prefer tension and war and killing to peace. That's why they took this, in his words, counterproductive step to foil peace and provoke others just for the sake of the Jews' innate cruelty and perfidy. And then the EU had this to say about the announcement. The settlement, quote, the settlement of Gilo, built on occupied Palestinian land in East Jerusalem, undermines the viability of a two-state solution, close quote. There are at least four anti-Semitic distortions in this statement, a distortion being a lie told to cast aspersions on the Jews. Number one, the settlement of Gilo is not a settlement. If words aren't to have a steady state, the meaning, Gilo was built in the middle of, was not built in the middle of nowhere, but next to another Jerusalem neighborhood after 67. If settlement connotes a community starting with mobile homes, well, that never happened. Gilo is all apartment buildings, and there's no room and there is room to continue building more of them. So lie number two here, the EU, as per its anti-Jew custom, called the land occupied Palestinian territory, but that has no basis in international law, so long as the EU believes that the word Palestinian designates a people who are 100% not Jewish. On the contrary, if one wants to use the term Palestinian territory, the historical facts are clear. The term never existed before the Muslims. It had meaning to Jews and Christians as a synonym for the promised land of the Jews' Bible, but it was brought to life with the name of Palestine explicitly by the League of Nations to be a Jewish homeland, and what the mandate explicitly recognized as the Jewish people's historic homeland. So if one wants to use the expression Palestinian territory and use it honestly and accurately, then one is referring to territory that belongs to the Jews. The League said that the territory of Palestine is for the Jews. So yes, the term occupied Palestinian territory, were it used accurately and honestly, would refer to Jewish land now occupied by Arabs. It's the Arabs everywhere west of the Jordan who are in unlawful occupation of Palestinian territory, the same that the League said belonged to the Jewish people. In other words, the expression occupied Palestinian territory should refer to every Arab settlement. The League created Palestine for Jews, and non-Jews are in illegitimate occupation of our land. But setting aside that for a moment, what stands out in this little news item is this global agreement in the U.S. and at the U.N. and at the EU that Jews building homes for themselves on land they took from the Jordanians in 1967 is wrong. The Jews must give back what they took. It does not belong to them. And what's important here is this global agreement that the Jews are criminals in this relationship, not the sons of Ishmael. The history of war is the history of how peoples change the lines between them. It is rare for a major war to end with no changes made between the warring parties. The map of Europe was redrawn at the Congress of Vienna in 1815, at the end of the 20-year-long Napoleonic period of wars. And that kept the peace for a century, but then came the Great War, 1914, 1918, the First World War, and lines were redrawn again. American colonists fought Britain for 5 years, and at the end, the lines of American sovereignty were redrawn. America grew, expanded, and grew again as victors in the war with Mexico. But Israel, no. Israel has no right to keep the spoils of war. Israel must return what it took in 1967. And how amazing the whole world thinks this way. The silver lining to this hostility is that it's more proof that the world, the Goyim, believe as much in the unique existence of the Jewish people via their unique treatment of us. Anti-Semites are as fixated on the Jews and on the Frumist Yid. Via their anger, they display the power of the Jewish idea.
מהפרדל מהשפות ירים אביון להושיבי עם נדיבים עם נדיבי עמו מי כהשם אלוקים Elokeinu Hamagbihi Lashavet Hamashpili Lirot Bashamayim Uva'aretz Mekimi Ashpot Yari Mevyon Hoi Leoshivim Im Nedivim Im Nedivei Amor Tini Nai 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 Tana Nai 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 Hamashpili Lirot Hoi Bashamayim Uva'aretz Hoi Mekimi Me'afardal Me'aspot Yari Mevyon Hoi Lehoshivim Im Nedivim Im Nedivei Amor Tiri Nai 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 Na 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 na.
So, in addition to the world being united in its hostility to Israel building more apartments in Jerusalem, as testimony to their obsession with us and our identity, the Pope of Rome on Friday, via his response to visiting Auschwitz, likewise gave testimony to the power of Jewishness. His remarks were just pathetic for his inability to say one intelligent thing about the death camp and the fate of the Jews. Like the Sherlock Holmes story in which the biggest clue is what did not happen, the dog did not bark, so the Pope unbelievably issued vapid comments that he made later in the day in Krakow, more evidence of the immensity of the story of Jews, which this man and his church still cannot face. Adolf Hitler and a slew of his henchmen were all baptized in this Pope's church, and his remarks exposed his own inability to respect the unique identity of the Jewish people as the innocent victims of his own de facto, if not de jure, faith. Following his silent walk inside the grounds of Auschwitz, and apparently saying nothing at the time until he reached Krakow, he there cited, quote, torture and overcrowded prisons around the world as a continuation of, quote, the cruelty of 70 years ago. How people died, being shot or hanged or with gas. Today, in many parts of the world where there is war, the same thing is happening, close quote. Like the non-Jew Jimmy Carter who misreads the Bible, here was this Pope displaying no understanding, no knowledge of what Auschwitz was all about. If he thinks, quote, the same things are happening today, he knows nothing of what happened way back when. Or he knows what Auschwitz stands for and is just incapable of saying anything intelligent about this most monstrous episode of lunatic Jew hatred in history in which his people played such a central role. I, for one, will begin to think more highly of this man and his church when they begin to face up to the madness and the cruelty of their communities and their history of demonic Jew hatred. I, for one, think it is Europe, no less than Israel, that must take seriously the Holocaust, because, numerically speaking, the Jews suffered only 10% of the loss of human life in the horror of World War II, no less than the Jewish people, the people in Europe, should every year ponder the Holocaust, for it was the burning core of that war in which 60 million people were killed. The Germans themselves lost 8 million of their own, saw their cities reduced to rubble, their country occupied by foreigners and torn in two. The Germans, no less than the Jews, must contemplate the Holocaust. They and all the European peoples who assisted them in their satanic plan to exterminate every Jew on the planet. Israel announces the building of innocent apartment houses in Jerusalem, and the whole planet, leastwise its representatives, must protest what clearly they think is functionally criminal behavior. The Jews building on land that belongs to another nation, the ancient Palestinian nation? They say, there they go again, these Jews, with their sinister and criminal actions, being provocative, a State Department spokesman for the Obama administration said. In an unrelated but related story last week as well, in a visit here that got no coverage in the MSM at the time, obviously because the government, Netanyahu, did not want coverage at the time, Senator Lindsey Graham flew in to meet with the Prime Minister and others to put their heads together to deal with, quote, Graham's words, the lack of generosity, close quote, on the part of the Obama administration in the matter of a new military plan for Israel. Given the chaos of the region that Obama created, the U.S. is being more generous to friendly nations in the region faced with new problems and threats, but towards Israel, it's stingy, as it ever has been before. Graham said the Congress is completely independent of the White House and can go around them, perhaps. He himself is a senior member of the Senate Appropriations Committee and the subcommittee that deals with foreign aid. This guy Obama is a piece of work, and worse. He has fooled so many Americans. He is functionally an ally of the Muslims, starting with the Shiite mullahs in Iran and the Sunni ISIS gangs, against whom he only makes a wimpy show of attacking because, as I believe, as a Muslim, he finds it hard to send infidel soldiers, U.S. soldiers, to kill fellow believers. And as always, it's the power of Jewishness that is moving history one way or the other. As suggested, World War II was largely the result of Europe's monstrous Jew hatred. And at the UN, that organization is to this day paralyzed and obsessed with Israel. And here is the president of the richest country on earth sticking it to the Jews. He did it with his infernal Iran plan and is keeping up the aggression via this lack of generosity, in Senator Graham's words. In an interview with Haaretz last week, Graham said that Susan Rice, who is handling the negotiations, doesn't take the Iran threat seriously enough. He said, quote, I want Iran to see, as it has gotten stronger via this deal, so Israel, helped by the U.S., will get stronger, but that's becoming problematic. I say fat chance it's going to happen under this guy. He not only slapped the Jews in the face within minutes of taking the oath of office in 2009 and made his first call as president to Mahmoud Abbas, he remains as obsessed with the Jews as always, as Reverend Wright, his teacher, was, and above all, Louis Farrakhan. He was out to get us his first day in office, and will be obsessed with us until his last day in office. May Hashem protect us from this bad actor.
Mizmor le David, Hashem roi lo echzar, bin ot deshe yarbitzeini, al mei menuchot yenhaleini. Nafshi yeshovev yanchaini, b'mag letzedek leman shmo, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע. כי אתה עמדי. שבתך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי. נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים. לאורך ימים. מזמור לדוד,
מזמור
השם רואי לא יחסר,
לא יחסר.
בנאות דשא ירביצני, על מי מנוחות ינעלני. נפשי ישובב ינחני, במעג לצדק למען שמו, גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא יירא רע, כי אתה עמדי. תנאי נאי 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 Da-nai, na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, nai, na-nai, na-na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, da-nai, na-na-nai, na-nai-nai, da-nai, na-na-na-nai, da-nai, na-na-nai, na-nai, na-na-nai, da-nai, na-nai, na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai. שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צורריי. נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה, אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים. לאורך ימים, דנאי נאי נאי נאי, דנאי נאי נאי, דנאי נאי נאי נאי, נאי נאי נאי, כי אתה עמדי.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. One glimmer of good news today was the announcement by the Prime Minister's office that it will launch an investigation into NGOs here funded from France. And he did so following yesterday's announcement in Paris by Foreign Minister Manuel Valls that the French government was considering banning the construction of new mosques in France whose financing comes from abroad. Sound familiar? The French, I believe, have been part of the chorus of Europeans wagging their fingers at Israel for the anti-NGO law here that was actually quite mild in its final form when passed. The EU and the Brits and the French, they all huffed and puffed at Israel's attack on democracy, they said, when the Knesset stood up to these anti-government factors from abroad funding anti-Jew Israelis here. And here now is France on the verge of blocking money from abroad flowing into French mosques, because it's no secret that the foreign funds are not coming from moderate Muslims, whatever they are, sermonizing that Muslims should knock off their murdering of people and slitting throats. Foreign Minister Valls called for the imams in France to be trained in France and not abroad. This has a famous historical precedent. As a result of the French Revolution, which was not only against the royals and the nobility, but also the Catholic Church, whose cardinals and archbishops were also of the nobility. In other words, the revolution was very much against the Catholic Church, as against the regime. And as a result, France would afterwards not allow the Vatican to appoint French prelates. On the contrary, they would henceforth be elected by the people in France. And here is France today dealing with the Muslims in a similar fashion. Islam, as it is practiced and preached in the Middle East, will no longer be allowed, if this French legislation goes through, to have a hand in the administration of the mosques in France. This is very good news. François Hollande may be a wimp, but Valls, I think, sees the threat clearly. On the ground, French police and local politicians continue to play the game of targeting so-called radical Muslims or Muslim extremists. But Valls, I suspect, who is very pro-Israel, a native Spaniard and married to a French Jew, understands the enemy is not some radical fringe in Islam, but Islam itself. If I think Europe is going to save itself, the first step is recognizing that it is Islam that is the problem, not just those who become radicalized. I hate when they say that. He got radicalized. What the West must do is face the truth of Islam as an imperialist, aggressive, totalitarian system and community. Until such time as its prominent leaders, as the preachers in Al-Azhar in Cairo and the Grand Mosque in Mecca and the mullahs in Iran, as long as they don't preach to the faithful to stop their murdering of non-Muslims, all Muslims must be charged or presumed to be guilty before they're innocent. A special regime has to be developed to deal with these people. It'll be a huge mistake to treat the current wave of horrors as criminal, as common criminality. This is a holy war, a jihad, as the terror maniacs themselves say, and the West has to understand that and develop new policies and tactics to meet the menace. May Emmanuel Valls' first steps not be the last.
Yedid nefesh אהב הרחמן משוך עבדך אל רצונך ירוץ עבדך כמו אייל ישתחווה אל מול הדרך ירב לו ידידותיך מנופת צוף וכל טעם
היי, היי נא נא נא
הדור נאה זיו העולם נפשי חולת אהבתך אהנה כל נא הוי רפנה לה בהראות לה נועם זיווך אז תתחזק ותתרפא והייתה לה שמחת עולם ועתיק ועתיק ימון הרחמך וחוסנה על בין אהובך כי זה כמה נחשוף נחשפתי לראות מהרה בתפארת עוזך אלך עמדה חמדה ליבי וחוסנה ואל תתעלם היגלה, היגלה נא ופרוס חביבי עליי את סוכת, את סוכת שלומך תאיר ארץ מכבודך נגילה ונשמחה בך מהר אהוב כי במועד וחוננו כי ימי עולם. וחוננו כי ימי עולם.
Okay, that's it for this Sunday night in the end of July. Hot Sunday night. I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.